best price.
Chris Christie continues to tease, even though I have it from good sources, he has no intention of running for president. What a way to start this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Rumors, rumors, rumors. Don't you love it? That's what politics is all about, pressing it out there and seeing where it goes. And there is something about massaging the ego of people you like. And Chris Christie is a likable guy, this New Jersey governor, in some circles anyway. I know that on these airwaves we could find people that could tell us things they don't like about their governor. But there's been conversation over and over and over again for the past probably year that Chris Christie would be great to run on the Republican side of things. He would make a great president, and he would have a chance to knock off Barack Obama, in the sense that Barack Obama wouldn't get the repeat, wouldn't be yet our third president in a row who gets two terms. No, but here's the thing. It was really looking like it was going to be a two-man race between Mitt Romney and Governor Rick Perry from Texas. But lately, that's changed a little bit, too. Herman Cain's starting to get more play, and more conversation is going in his direction with some of his ideas about flat taxes and whatnot. But he's still behind Romney and Perry. Christie, in polls where he's thrown in, is right there on the platform with them. Last week he was in California giving a big speech, and he was nudged by a former First Lady, Barbara Bush, about running. His brother says, no way. No way is he going to run. He would tell me he's not going to run. But that could be just a ploy to see what happens when it's thrown out there. Then you can always say, well, I had no idea. I didn't know. The reason I bring this up at the top is because as we engage here in another week, we're doing our own America Tonight straw poll for fun. It's unscientific. Right now, Herman Cain and Ron Paul are leading with 15 votes apiece. So the two, Perry and Romney, are way behind with this crowd. Rick Perry's got 7. Mitt Romney has 7 votes so far. Michelle Bachmann has 6, and that's all that any of you have sent me emails on or called this show. So we're going to continue to do that until the end of next week and then tally up all the votes. I'm going to put a cool little graph on the website so you can see just how this audience plays out, at least for now. If you like the president and you want to throw in for the president, that's fine. And we'll see how all of that works, too. It's not just only the Republicans. It's who you think. And all-inclusive, everybody. Not exclusive, all-inclusive poll. Who do you think should be president? So having said that, along the way, you can throw that in at any point, your 2 cents on it, 800-259-5791. I wasn't going to bring this up at the top of the show, but it's worth mentioning because I noticed over the weekend when I was out, a lot of people were eating cantaloupe. Are you a cantaloupe eater? Do you say to yourself, you know, I got to eat some fruit. I had a bunch of beer last night, some greasy cheeseburger. I got to eat something healthy. When people say they got to eat something healthy, it usually comes in the form of fruit or vegetables. A lot of time it's cantaloupe. We've had this crazy listeria outbreak from cantaloupe, and, I mean, a big one. So this is tainted food again, and this is a cantaloupe or cantaloupes grown in Colorado. And along the way, how many places does the cantaloupe go before ultimately it ends up on your table somewhere? That's scary about any of the food that we eat, I think. Even though we probably still, despite some of the things that have happened recently, we still have one of the safest food supplies. Although I shudder to think, because I've seen some things that would make you not want to eat any of the things that are processed. But what's happened is, now at this point, we've got 17 deaths, 17 dead people in 19 states. 84 people are sick. And Jensen Farms, they're the producer. And they don't even know. I mean, you know, their fruit is all over the place. They're a huge producer. They're not even exactly sure where their fruit ends up. They say they don't have a complete list of retailers that sold the bad fruit because the melons are sold and resold. Oh, I'm thinking farmer's market, where are you getting these from? Oh, and that's what happens. You know, they ship them out, somebody buys them, and then it goes from there. And that's what they were, when they were pressed about it, they said, this is what happens. These are the steps along the way. So the food chain, it isn't from point A, B, C, D, boom, there it is at your house. Who knows? It could go off on a side tangent somewhere. And I think that's scary because 17 people dead, 84 people sick so far. How many cantaloupes went from that farm that were tainted or got tainted along the way or whatever happened to them with the listeria? I mean, there has to be a better way to trace food through the system somehow. For goodness sake, if we're going to have food safety, let's do it the right way. And there has to be some kind of network they can design so you know where it leaves, some kind of somehow to check that off, right? Because I wouldn't want to get listeria. You know what listeria is like? This is something that you find in soil and water, and a lot of times it'll crop up in meat, and it can stay for a long time. It's also something you hear, and you probably heard it when you were in school, unpasteurized cheese and milk, but not so much produce like cantaloupe. And this is what it would feel like. You would have muscle aches, you'd have this terrible fever, be doubled over in pain. 1 in 5 people who get it can die. 1 in 5. But I think it's scary. I think that there has to be a way that there has to be a chain of a map of something, of where all of it's going, because they can't be sure that they've gotten it all off the market. And so who knows, when you sit down and you're eating your cantaloupe, where did it come from? This farm? Did it come somehow in a roundabout way from this farm? Are we at risk? I mean, how bad is the food? How bad is the food chain? It's bad. It's bad. That part's bad, where you can't trace it. There should be a traceable end to this, and we don't have an end to it. That's what the problem is. All right, speaking of ends, there's a big one. 60 Minutes. Andy Rooney comes to a close. Want to hear what that sounds like? I hope so, because we got it for you next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
This is a special alert from eFoods Direct. Silver just dumped to a two-year low, and right now the stock market crashes and recrashes daily. What does that mean to you? When stocks crash, companies fail, jobs are lost, and you can't buy the already too expensive food. eFoods just got notice that wholesale costs on pasta, rice, and beans will immediately jump 20%. The all-time high cost of sugar is tripling. Those who tried to buy silver for security just lost a big piece of the food their silver might have bought before it crashed. So what are you going to do? Get as much food as you can. With these problems you're facing, eFoods Direct has no choice but to extend the free shipping another week to October 9th. Free shipping to October 9th buys more food with shipping dollars. Call 800-409-5633, 24 hours. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Remember, you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Uncle Andy, but Andy Rooney definitely had his own sort of style. I can remember watching 60 Minutes when I was a kid with my grandfather, one of my favorite things to do, because football would be on, and then that would come on, and it'd be that familiar, you know, the whole 60 Minutes deal. And Andy Rooney, he watched it till the end, till Andy Rooney, and then that was it. Then he turned off the TV, and he was out of there. So it has a memory. He has a memory for me. And then I'm going to tell you one quick story. I was at a Super Bowl in San Diego, and Andy Rooney was on the media bus. He was on one of the many media buses that pick you up at the hotel or the media NFL headquarters to go out to the game. And the traffic was just brutal trying to get to the Murph. And he had enough. He finally, you could see the stadium was in sight, and he had enough, and he's like, let me off of this damn bus. I'm going to walk. And it was him. You know, you turn around, and that's him. You can't miss his eyebrows. And he got off the bus, and sure enough, he walked the, whatever it was, mile and a half to the stadium because he was having none of sitting in the traffic, and he was impatient, and he wanted to get there. So 33 years is a very long time, And in television, an incredible run to do, to be able to do that week after week with his style that he brought to his commentary. And how many commentaries did he do? 1,097. 1,097. How about that? A Few Minutes with Andy Rooney. It started in 1978, and that's how it all happened. And it gained a lot of momentum, and people waited and watched for it, and they waited to see the familiar, crazy eyebrowed, you know, gray-haired man take off on his spin on whatever it was. And he definitely had a unique way of looking at the world and writing. And this was it. He had his own trademark and lasted for 33 years. And I guess he's going to maybe make a few occasional appearances on the show. He's 92 years old, so stepping down after all those years. I wanted you to hear the whole thing in its entirety because it's worth it. It's a few minutes. So sit back for a second and take a listen to Andy Rooney.
Not many people in this world are as lucky as I've been. When I was in high school, I had an English teacher who told me I was a good writer, so I set out to become a writer myself. I've made my living as a writer for 70 years now, been pretty good. During World War II, I wrote for the Army newspaper, The Stars and Stripes. After the war, I went to work in radio and television because I didn't think anyone was paying enough attention to the written word. I worked with a lot of great people who had the voice for radio, or they looked good on television. But someone had to write what they said, and that was me. When I went on television, it was as a writer. I don't think of myself as a television personality. I'm a writer who reads what he's written. People have often told me I said the things they are thinking themselves. I probably haven't said anything here that you didn't already know or have already thought. That's what a writer does. There aren't too many original thoughts in the world. A writer's job is to tell the truth. I believe that if all the truth were known about everything in the world, it would be a better place to live. I know I've been terribly wrong sometimes, but I think I've been right more often than I've been wrong. I may have given the impression that I don't care what anyone else thinks, but I do care. I care a lot. I have always hoped that people will like what I've written. Being liked is nice, but it's not my intent. I spent my first 50 years trying to become well-known as a writer, and the next 30 trying to avoid being famous. I walk down the street now or go to a football game, and people shout, "Hey, Andy," and I hate that. I've done a lot of complaining here, but of all the things I've complained about, I can't complain about my life. My wife Margie and I had 4 good kids. Now there are grandchildren. I have 2 great-grandchildren, although they're a little young for me to know how great they are. And all this time, I've been paid to say what is on my mind on television. You don't get any luckier in life than that. This is a moment I've dreaded. I wish I could do this forever. I can't, though. But I'm not retiring. Writers don't retire, and I'll always be a writer. A lot of you have sent me wonderful letters and said good things to me when you meet me in the street. I wasn't always gracious about it. It's hard to accept being liked. I don't say this often, but thank you. Although, if you do see me in a restaurant, please, just let me eat my dinner.
And so it goes. Andy Rooney kind of matches up with the story I told you about being on the bus and demanding to get let off the bus so he could walk to the Super Bowl because he didn't want to be stuck sitting there in traffic. He wanted to be let off. A legend, no doubt about that. And never do you hear him, as he said, say thank you, so interesting, and be interesting to see what they do. Probably different people doing commentaries. I'm not sure if they said what would happen in that slot or not. He was the master of making sometimes something out of nothing, and there is truly an art form to that, without a doubt. couple of quick things on the headers for you in case you missed it. And one of them is the fact that now these protesters, the Wall Street protesters, are getting bigger. 700 were protesting on New York's Brooklyn Bridge. They were speaking out about a bunch of different things. The main themes, though, corporate greed, the whole Wall Street thing, and their presence has, like I said, intensified over the last couple of weeks. So they marched on the bridge, basically shut down the bridge, had a little confrontation with the police. As I say, shut down the bridge, having just been over it a couple of weeks ago. It's very narrow where you go up on the pedestrian side. So there were enough people that you can't, you would be knocking the other pedestrians off of that side of the bridge. And it was an impromptu kind of trek to Brooklyn. That's what they did, in thick rows on the sidewalk, and it spilled into the road, so it shut down several lanes of traffic, I guess, for several hours. And there were people that were arrested. They got citations for disorderly conduct for the most part, and then they were released, and they were screaming on the roadway. They were screaming, "Let us go," and chanting, and from the pedestrian walkway above that. And police actually used, strange, I've never seen this, but they used orange netting to stop the group from going further down the bridge because it's under construction. So they just covered it all up, got in front of them. And some of the people that were yelling and protesting were actually kind of lured onto the roadway by the cops or didn't hear the calls. And ultimately they would have been arrested, the people that were down there. And they had video to back them up because the police were afraid that with everything that's happened, saying that there was police brutality or that people were being knocked to the ground or they were being tricked or whatever, they had video footage, and the NYPD released it. In one of the videos, and I've seen this, you can clearly see they use a bullhorn to warn the crowd about, you know, to not do that. And you can see and hear that the marchers are yelling, "Take the bridge, you know, take the bridge," kind of thing. And it's all kinds of people that are part of this group, from college students to older than that, people who are they're in debt because of what's happened. And, you know, we can't continue to live this way, and it's corporate greed and pretty much along those lines. And these protests now have propped up in other places, so it's not just New York anymore. Boston, Los Angeles, Albuquerque, New Mexico. There's more that are planned in the next couple of days, and let's see if this actually leads to any big changes somewhere. I'm not sure where, but maybe a tighter organization, I guess. Shows democracy in action, though.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Attention, all Medicare beneficiaries who need assistance getting around their homes. There is a Medicare benefit that may qualify you for a power chair or scooter at little to no cost to you. Imagine one scooter or power chair that could improve your mobility and your life. One Medicare benefit that, with private insurance, may entitle you to pay little to nothing to own it. One company that can make it all happen.
Your power chair will be paid in full.
The Scooter Store.
Hi, I'm Doug Harrison. We're experts at getting you the power chair or scooter you need. In fact, if we qualify you for Medicare reimbursement and Medicare denies your claim, we'll give you your power chair or scooter free.
I didn't pay a penny out of pocket for my power chair.
Call the Scooter Store for free information today.
Call 1-800-619-1414. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. 1-800-619-1414. That's 1-800-619-1414.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN. Or call 800-332-OPTICS. 800-332-6784.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
I use WebEx anytime I need to meet with clients. With the new WebEx high-quality video, it's like meeting face-to-face.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others, anytime, anywhere, on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. How do you use WebEx? Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
The cops in Springfield, Massachusetts say a singer known for a Big Love song in 1990 had to be hauled off stage and arrested on charges of owing $420,000 in, guess what, unpaid child support. Yep. Stephen Bernard Hill of Vegas picked up at the Mass Mutual Center where he was performing on tour. Hill sings a Stevie B and is known for the song Because I Love You. It reached number one on the charts in the late, I guess in the late 1990s, late 1990. And they say he was surprised that he was arrested and concerned that he might miss a weekend show in Providence, Rhode Island. So he's going to be arraigned on Monday. 400, how did they come up with that number? Must have been what he agreed to. 420,000. That's a nice, how much do I love you kind of deal. He owes me money. Pull him off the stage. Wow. All right, from that child support deal, 420,000, almost half a mil, to this one, police, unfortunately, I don't get the body dumping thing, but because it always... I guess it's certainly for effect, but police in Acapulco, Mexico found 7 bodies dumped at a resort. So now, this is what I've said all along, would you really want to go to Mexico now? And it was seven men. They were dumped at a downtown bus stop. And it's, they, of course, think it's part of the whole drug cartel thing and whatnot. And then you get take the pictures, and there's people, there's bodies lying on top of each other, and their feet were tied to a street pole. And the messages were claimed to be from the Knights Templar, which is an offshoot of the La Familia drug cartel. And they leave threatening messages. That's what all the drug cartels do, by the way. They leave threatening messages at crime scenes, so that's what they were doing there. But, boy, this is becoming an all-too-familiar sight, isn't it? Where they're, remember Mexico City? They just dumped 20 bodies out of a cab. They had masks on. Nobody said anything. What are they going to say? They're afraid to move? Ooh. All right, let's get on to a lighter note about Porsche and the fact that the sports car maker is putting up for sale a Bavarian castle. I'm sure somebody listening to America Tonight has buku bucks, right? If you have $8 million, you can buy your own castle. The company owned the castle, I guess, forever and a day, and they've decided that they wanted to, they were hoping to transform it into a hotel, and they decided it was going to cost too much money, it wasn't worth it. So now they put it back on the market. And that's what it'll cost you. And it is a true castle. It looks like a castle you see in a storybook, you know. If you're reading a storybook to your daughter or whoever and you see a castle and it has the points on the top. And, I mean, it's dramatic. It's huge. Huge. That's the only thing I could think of that you would use it for would be a hotel. Because if you wanted to live in it, how much would that sucker cost you? You know, who cares? But I had to lighten the load a little bit here, right? 800-259-5791. That's a little bit of we can count. Let's go to Mark in New York. Hey, Mark.
Well, you know, I'm not going to lighten the load, right?
I know. So we had to do it before we went to you. That's exactly right.
Well, thank you, my dear. How are you? You all right?
I'm good. How are you?
I just got on back from work. I know it's they call me to work some overtime on Sunday, so I've been blessed with a job, and I went to work. I was listening to your show on the way home. Let's make a couple of points, and I'll get off. Those people that are marching in New York, they ought to march right to Lower Manhattan to the Federal Reserve Bank and protest over there because they're the ones that are controlling our monetary policy. I don't want to make this whole big schmeal about conspiracies because it's not a conspiracy anymore. But I told you I've been reading this book by Gary Allen, called None Dare Call a Conspiracy. And I'm almost finished with it. It talks about the revolution, the wars, and how the international bankers have financed both sides of the wars. They're still doing what they're doing today. In 1974, I believe it was, when the book came out, actually it was published 72, I think, our national debt, what we owed, was $455 billion. Today, Kate, what is it, $14
trillion? Oh, yeah, $14
trillion. It's just the people that are getting the interest on the loans. I just have a question for the people protesting, and I don't disagree with them around the world, around the country. Wells Fargo laundered $378 billion in drug money. You just talked about the bodies in Mexico. They laundered $378 billion, and this is in Bloomberg News. They paid a $100 million fine. Mm-hmm. Kate, even if you made a billion, never mind $378 billion, and you paid a $100 million fine, that would only be 10% of your criminal enterprise. I would have gladly forego 10%, and now Wells Fargo simply took over Wachovia Bank.
Exactly.
So that's another reason why you'll never see the drug war stopped, because the banks are flush with the drug money. Now, I know I'm turning on a dime on my years-ago political philosophy, but it's the truth. Nothing's going to change here. They're talking about Chris Christie. First of all, he vetoed a bill to allow teenagers to notify their parents and they were going to have an abortion. He vetoed that. So the abortion right, the people that are pro-life, they're never going to vote for him. He's for the assault weapons ban. He's from New Jersey, which has the strictest gun control laws. The guy, first of all, he's never going to get in. And he also appointed a radical Muslim some guy with radical beliefs to a judgeship, and he told everybody to be quiet. Don't, you're kooky if you ask me about it. And he's never answered for why. I told you this before. Let me finish. that he shut down an investigation 20 years ago that would have led us to the first World Trade Center bombers. He's never answered that, and I hope he does get in the race so someone has the guts to ask this slob. And I don't mean that pejorative. I know he's an overweight, but have you noticed, just in his defense, and you'll say, well, Mark, you're going to damn him with faint praise, how the left is making fun of this guy because he's overweight.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll do anything. They'll go after black folks that are Republicans, overweight folks. It's just amazing how they get away with this. But at the same time, I don't think he's going to be a good candidate for any office. He never answered as to why he shut down a terrorist investigation when he was a prosecutor in New Jersey. And I will keep harping on this until the truth comes out, because if this guy is a nominee, it's because people, big money people behind him, want him in there. And I'm telling you, from reading this book, Kate, I'm getting so disgusted. I'm not putting my eggs in any basket in any particular candidate, because I don't think anything's going to change. Nothing's going to change. It's only going to get worse. And these protests are just the beginning.
I agree.
People much, much more intelligent, much more worldly and newsmakers than I am, and I listen to these different shows. They've thrown around the world the word revolution. I keep hearing it, Kate, and it's scary because they have the wherewithal, whether it's the military or the police, to just shut us down like that. So I'm just saying it's frightening about everything that's going down. You know what I mean?
Oh no, I agree with you. That's why I'm for the third party. I agree that I don't think much is going to change. It's you can interchange the parts. You got to vote for the person anyway. And I think there's this massive gridlock, and we have to break the gridlock. I mean, if we're going to keep this nation the way it is, in other words, better, and keep the freedoms alive, you can't have that kind of gridlock.
Right. You'll have to have the only member that you mentioned him before about his. About the drone strikes, Ron Paul.
Yeah.
He was the only one, I think, that would have an actual shot at having a third party, because he can't be bought. But they'll use these his anti-military, well, his money stance as far as foreign aid against him.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with him in one aspect. I mean, I would rather have seen Alaki tortured to see what he knew, because as Alex Jones has said, I don't want to be an Alex Jones acolyte here, because I read it in the New York Post about 6 months ago. He was at the Pentagon. He dined at the Pentagon as far as this interfaith Muslim, Christian, powwow at the Pentagon. What did he know, and when did he know it? Now, it's convenient he's gone. It's convenient that Osama bin Laden's gone. These guys are supposed to be assets. They're intelligence. What are their connections? Well, why would you kill them, take them out, unless you didn't want their connections to come out? That's what I see as a bigger issue, aside the ginormous issue of the fact he's an American citizen and he did an extrajudicial assassination on an American citizen. As much of a scumbag as he was, if you knew where he was, wouldn't you try to get a SEAL team in there or somebody to take this guy alive? Of course not, because then he spills the beans and the whole damn edifice comes crashing down. And let me leave you with this. About a year ago, the Goldman Sachs, all the bankers in New York, were going out and getting expedited pistol permits, which me and you and the rest of the blue-collar slobs down here, we can't get. But since they're bankers and they have tons of money, they issued the pistol permits. Why did they do that? Because they're afraid of protest. What are we getting in protest? So it feeds upon itself. And I love you, babe. Thanks.
All right. Connecting a few dots with Mark, I don't agree with the Alaki thing, because I think he needed to be taken out. But he does make a point that would it have been better to have had him alive to be able to question him, and then that gives way for a conspiracy enterprise to say, well, maybe they didn't want him to speak, because who knows what he would have said. And he is right about that. He did at one point come together for an interfaith thing, but to me, I think that was part of his whole ruse, because he was a Muslim cleric and he had gotten radicalized all along. He was getting radicalized and had a purpose, had a plan, and that's why he ended up in Yemen. I don't think so much that there was something that he knew that was so vital that he was going to reveal. I think that was all part of his own trap. But yet, would it have been better to have him? Maybe, except for that he had to be taken out for sure. Either way, he had to be taken out. Baseball actually coming up next.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid, the matches are safe inside, and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Fly ball down the right field line. This is deep. This has got a chance. And this one is gone. A home run. Right down the line. Two-run shot for Cabrera. And the Tigers, with two out in the first, take a 2-0 lead. The 0-2 pitch. Swinging a ground ball to second base. Big hop for Santiago. Over to Cabrera. And the Tigers have split the first two here in New York. It was not easy in the bottom of the ninth.
Luke Wright bumps first base side. It's going to be a perfect suicide squeeze. He threw the ball past Montero. Betancourt to third. Luke Wright a second on a perfect suicide squeeze. The pitch. Corey lines a base hit to center. Here comes Betancourt. They'll hold Luke Wright at third on a solid smash by Corey Hart. The stretch. Infield up the pitch. Swing of the liner. Base hit right center. Two more runs are going to score. Corey Hart to third. And the Brewers now lead this game 8-4 as Niger Morgan delivers.
The pitch by Lee. A swing and a hit to left field. That's going to bring in the go-ahead run, Craig. Hopper takes a turn at first and he'll hold on.
Ask and you shall receive. Here's a ground ball to second. Tough play. Out at first, and the Redbirds win this one. They even the series at one apiece. We're headed home.
Little did I know her body was warm, delicious by no two young metal woods. I want to look a little bit
crazy. All the series tied up at one apiece, as you heard, except for the Brewers, who demolished the D-backs 9-4. They lead 2-0. And, you know, the rest of the National League, you got the Phillies, who got beat by the Cards 5-4. breaking my heart as I watched that one. And Cliff Lee, he had a lead. They gave him a bunch of runs in the beginning. He had three runs out of the gate, but he could not hold it. And sure enough, now Philly in that situation where they're split and they got to go to St. Louis. The Tigers win was huge in the rain, beating the Yankees 5-3. So that series, like I said, the rest of them were all knotted up at one. And the Rangers, after getting pummeled by the Rays in their own ballpark, as that series opened up, they're able to come back. That happened on Friday. They're able to come back on Saturday and beat Tampa Bay to head on the road with a split. So, as usual, postseason baseball is living up to its billing. It's exciting stuff. You never know what's going to happen. In watching the games and someone comes out with a big lead, and this comes off of a week where you had the craziest, really, 15 minutes in baseball. Teams knocked out that they thought for sure they were in, like the Boston Red Sox. Teams on the bubble that needed help from a team that was just playing out their last game of the season, the 162-game season. They're playing out the last one, meaning the Phillies. And now, ironically, they, of course, they're waiting to play, and they play St. Louis, but St. Louis had to stall, wait for their plane. They're in Houston. They blow out the Astros, and the Phillies help them because they beat the Braves in extra frames. But that's old news. I mean, now we're in the playoffs. Still an exciting 4 or 5 days. I mean, if you're a baseball fan, you are loving this stuff. Matt, you and I are both baseball fans, and you said to me off the air, that's what you did a lot of this weekend. You were watching, and this is good stuff.
Yeah, and like you said, that, when was it, Wednesday night?
Yeah.
That was some of the most exciting 15 minutes of baseball. I mean, I was at a sports bar and had all the games on at the same time, the three fantastic finishes where you had, I mean, the Braves getting eliminated, the Red Sox getting eliminated, the Rays coming back, all in a span of about 15 minutes deciding the fates of, you know, three different teams. And then this weekend, there's been a lot of good games, too. And so baseball's, it's been fun to watch so far. And unfortunately for me, you know, my Twins aren't in it, but I like to latch on other teams. So I like the Rays. I like your Rangers, too, and they're playing each other. And then the same thing's happened in the National League, where the two teams I would actually cheer for, the Diamondbacks and the Brewers, even though the Brewers have the best record, they haven't been in the playoffs really in a while, at least to my knowledge.
No.
And they're playing each other again because I'm kind of sick of seeing St. Louis and your Philadelphia Phillies in the playoffs all the time with your dream team pitching staff of 5 number one starters.
You're just jealous because your team lost 99 ball games, the Minnesota Twins.
Exactly.
But 99 bottle of beers on the wall.
But you guys have the most insane pitching staff ever. You should win every game. You should have won 120.
And they didn't win. See, everybody's beatable. You never know what's going to happen. They lost. The St. Louis strung it together.
They did. They did.
I think the fun thing to watch for people listening to us, it's just like politics, how you have campaign managers who are setting up the strategy, right? So a good campaign manager gets their guy elected ultimately. And in watching these managers and how they put these games together, I mean, that's the beauty of baseball because it's never 100%. You're watching maneuvers and how every individual game, the strategy, the pitchers, where the outfield is shaded, what's going on in the infield, what's happening with a particular hitter, a righty-righty matchup, a righty-lefty matchup, a lefty-lefty matchup, what's happening with the bullpen and all that sort of stuff, and a quality start. I mean, there's a zillion interesting things about baseball if you're a numbers person and a strategy person just to watch unfold. And I think of all the managers, Joe Maddon, who is the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, is one of the more interesting ones to watch because he's very unconventional, and yet it's all about getting on base and capitalizing on all those opportunities when you're in scoring position. And that's part of what I think is part of what has made this postseason so exciting. I mean, it's certainly shaping up to be a classic. And it all started at the tail end of the season. So if you're watching baseball, you're seeing some good stuff, and I think you're going to end up seeing a pretty good World Series. I mean, but first we have to narrow down the National League and, of course, the American League, too. We could argue about some of the umpiring has been questionable with the balls and the strikes. It's certainly in the Philadelphia game, both sides were complaining about that, and it makes sense because the strike zone seemed to be different for every batter. But that's the beauty of sports. It's the handicapping. There are so many similarities between politics and sports, and you see them when you watch sports. You see the similarities, the us's and the them's, the old school and the new school. And to me, it's never ending how you can pull out those comparisons and watch, whether it's from the strategy side or if it's just from the execution side. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that there's politicians from the strategy side who are good, and then from the execution side are just awful. And since we don't have a third party, and we're really talking about the Republicans and then how Obama is out touting his jobs plan, which is going to go nowhere fast, that's what I'm comparing it to. And the polls and, you know, what's happening with momentum shifts and now more name calling between people, which that's going to continue till we get closer, at least on the Republican side of things, to a nominee, but certainly the same for the Democrats as well. And every week there's a new theme. I think the theme this week is going to be budget, and also problems with the jobs and the economy that's going to carry over. Of course, that's every week on the agenda. Where are the jobs? And what are we doing to try to get America back to work? And I don't believe the jobs plan is the answer, but I think the president already knows that because he's not going to get the people, he's not going to get the people on the Hill to back it enough. But that's going to be all of what we're hearing besides possibly the Middle East a little bit because of what just happened with Alaki and him being taken out and the debate over whether that was the right thing to do or not and constitutional rights versus what happens when you're in a situation when you're dealing with terrorism and where is that line. I'm sure we're going to be talking about that a lot more this week here on America Tonight. And you're invited to share your thoughts by sending them to us at americatonight.net and clicking on the email.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay. He could take the endorsement and shove it.